Today's Shiur Masechta Shavuos Daf Mem Hei. We will begin on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis on the bottom line, in the middle of the Mishnah Shekeneged Chasher HaShavua. We had begun in our previous Shiur to learn the Mishnah, where the Mishnah taught us that there were a number of examples where the Torah, where the Chazal reversed, or other reasons, Chazal reversed the Shavua. And that normally we know the halacha is that Nishbon, that the Shavua is made, and with that you become absolved from paying. There's examples where you swear and you collect. And the next example the Mishnah gives is Shekeneged the Chasher HaShavua. If the person who you're making the Shavua against is a Chasher HaShavua, and the Gemara, then the Shavuos are reversed. And the Mishnah immediately explains what that means. Ketzad, what does that mean? Ach HaShavuos HaEdus, whether the Baal Din said, say Eidus on my behalf, and this aid said false testimony that he doesn't know. Echchus Bekodim, whether there was a claim that he's holding on to my asset. And again, as we've been learning in our Masechta, he swore falsely that isn't true. Vafil Shvuashov, a Shvuashov is a Shvua that has no purpose. That means that he said that something made out of gold is made out of wood, etc. Hayechem sach b'kuvya, or one of the people who has to make a shvua is a gambler, as we've been learning in our shiurim, and the Gemara will explain this again. That the halacha is that a mesachik b'kuvya is disqualified from saying edus. Malva beribus is somebody who lends money on interest, mafricha yoinam, which is a type of a gambling with birds, soichre shvius, they do business with shmita produce. All of these cases are examples of individuals who are disqualified from saying edus. And since they're disqualified from saying edus, the halacha teaches us shekenegdoi, the other party, nishba v'naitel, he's the one that will swear. And even though, as we normally have said, the halacha by shvius is that the person who swears the purpose of his shvua is to absolve him from paying. Here, the normal example will be that the malva will swear, and based on his shvua, he will be able to collect. So our Gemara introduced the concept of, our Mishnah just introduced the concept of kenegdoi chasher al shvua. Says the Rambam, An individual is not classified as a chashud without Adam testifying to that effect. If somebody has to make a shvua and he says in Bezdin that he's a chashud because he has a history of being corrupt, the Bezdin will disregard his confession and tell him to swear despite what he said, that he has this disqualification, as long as he's saying that what he's saying now is truthful. The posh, the pshat, in understanding the opinion of the Rambam, is because ain't other mason matzmer roshim. The Ratan, however, says that if the person says that he is a Ghana, for example, so the Bezdin will shift the obligation of the shvua to the other side. The Ran says that the fact that he says that he's a choshud al shvua is no different to a halacha that is most known to everybody who learns, and that is the halacha of Hadas Baldin Kamei Edim Dami. And therefore, just like if somebody admitted that he owes somebody money, that he stole someone's money, Bezdin will obligate him to return the money. The same will be if somebody says that I'm not qualified to make a shvua, he will believe. Rabbi Kivega says that the Rambam basically has to agree with what the Ran says. Because as we just said, because there's a concept of Hadas Baldin Kamei Edim Dami. Says the Rambam. Says Ricky Vager, only disregards what he says that he's a Choshed, only in situations where by him declaring himself a Choshed, he's doing something to benefit himself. For example, if he knows that the other party is not as a person who will not swear under any circumstances, even if it means losing. So in such a case, when we believe him that he says that he's a chasra shvua and he's not able to swear, it won't cause him a monetary loss. On the contrary, he'll win the case since the other person refuses to swear. In such a case that we don't accept his claim, says the Ruki Vega, even according to the Rambam, he's a chasra shvua. We only accept his claim when it's to his detriment, not to when it's benefit. The Gemara said that if the person was asked to say Edus and he swore falsely that he doesn't know, so that's why he becomes a Choshel Shvua. So the Rashba asks, how can we know for sure, how can anyone know for sure that he's lying? All of us have situations where we forget things. So maybe when he said that he didn't know Edus, he was really saying the truth. Especially if we add to this the concept of Ein Adam Meis Matzmo Rasha. And we're not quick to say that the person did something wrong. He just legitimately forgot. So the Ran, in answer to this question, says that what happened here was that what he's saying he doesn't know Edus about happened right before he says he doesn't know Edus. So it is quite possible that somebody will forget something. But to forget a minute, what happened so very recently, and the Edom know you do know it, that's not considered, that is a situation where we know that you are a liar. The other terrorist the Ran gives, which was what we just said, that the person himself is admitting that I lied. And even though we've learned that Ein Adam Meisim Atzmei Rasha, in this case, it's going to be like the Ran told us, a situation of Ados Baldin Kamei Edom Dami, where he has what to gain by saying that saying this. And therefore, it's to his detriment, and therefore it's going to be like Ados Baldin Kamei Edom Dami, and we will accept when he says that, when he ultimately comes and says, I didn't know, I deliberately lied. We learned the next case of the Mishnah was Hayush Neim Chshudim. What happens if both of the individuals who are involved in this Torah are people who we don't trust to make a shvuah? Chazar shvuah l'mekaymai. So then the person who's supposed to make the shvuah makes the shvuah, the Rabbi Yossi. Rameya oimer yachloiku. Since neither of them can make a shvuah, we divide the claim. And we'll explain this more in the Gemara. Continues the Mishnah. V'chenvani al pinkosa keitzat. What does it mean when we say chenvani al pinkosa? Says the Gemara, Ketzad, loy shiyoy meloy, kosop and kosop shetachayv li mesayim zuz. It's not a situation where somebody claims and says that I have on my record that you owe me money. That in this case, Chazal don't say just make a shvua that yeah, and you'll have to pay, since there's no backing to your claim. Eloy meloy, what happened here was that somebody told the Chenvani, they didn't really live in a world of banks. And somebody said to the Chenvani, Ten lebni masayim chitim. So sayim chitim. Give my son, or so sayim chitim, and I will pay you. Or he says, Ten lepaali selamos. He says, I owe my worker salary. Please lay out and give him the money. And now, hu oimer, the Chenvani comes and says, Nosati, I gave the salary. But the workers say, Lo Natalnu, we never got salary. So now what happens is that there's a double claim against this person. The Chenvani says, I laid out money for you, and you have to pay me. The workers say, we worked for you, and we didn't get pay. So therefore, in this case, Nishba, the workers say, Lo'en Talma. Here the halach is, Hu Nishva V'Noitel. The Chenvani swears that he didn't, that he laid out the money and he'll collect what he says he laid out. And the workers will say that we did not get paid. And since they say we didn't get paid, pay us now. The Sefer Truma says, that even though our Mishnah spoke about a chanvani, it's not just a situation of a chanvani. This halacha applies wherever I ask somebody to represent me and to take care of my obligation, the same halacha would play. But the Magen Mishnah says no, that the halacha that we just learned in the Mishnah only applies by a chanvani, where there's an explanation and understanding that people get mixed up. But if you set it to a regular person, and there's a special rule, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, that applies to chanvani. But if you're speaking about a person who claims that you owe him money, that's no different than anything else that we've learned in our Masechta, that the halacha is that if somebody has a claim he owes money, there are different halachas, maida b'mixas, kaifa akol, father. Further, the Shach says that we learned in our Mishnah that the chanvani has to swear and the payalim, the workers, have to swear. So the Shach points out that if we look at the wording of the Shulchan Aruch, it seems that the Shulchan Aruch says, when quoting this psak of the Mishnah, that they not only must both parties, as we just said, have to swear, but they have to swear in the presence of each other. Because the fact that they're standing in front of each other and one of them is saying something which is not true is likely to create a deterrent that they're not going to lie. But if they're not in each other's presence, they're not going to feel the pressure and they're going to more likely say something which is not true. And indeed, Ben Anas says, Omer Ben Anas, how can we tolerate such a situation where we know that according to the psak that we just said, one of them is going to be saying something, swearing falsely? And actually, Ritva points out that the wording of the Mishnah is somewhat inaccurate. This is not called a shvua shav. As we said earlier in our shir, the definition of a shvua shav is when they say something which is patently false, which means on saying something, wood is gold, etc. This is in the category, actually, of a shvua sheker. Ella, who not l'shleib shvua? Bananas' opinion is that both of them collect, the chanvani collects, and the workers collect, but they both collect without making a shvua. And the way Ritva says that the way to understand this Mishnah is that the chanvani really doesn't have to swear, because our pidin, the halacha is that he doesn't have to, he's entitled to collect without a shvua. Because the halacha really is that if I say to you, you owe me money, and you cannot definitively say that you do not, which this is the exact case of our Gemara, where the chanvani says, I laid out the money for you as per your instruction, and I can't know for sure that not, so therefore the chevani doesn't have to swear. So it seems from the Shita, quoting the Ritva, that the chevani won't have to swear, but the workers will have to swear. Then I saw a different approach, and that is that the workers are the ones that don't have to swear. Why? Because the workers did their work. And if they did their work, they're entitled to get paid. So therefore, they really shouldn't have to make a shvua. It's the chanvani who has to make a shvua. But the pashup shot is that neither makes a shvua. And the opinion of the chacham is that both the workers and the chanvani have to swear. And the Ramah says that they don't swear at the same time. They swear successively, because what did Ben Anas just say, says the Sma, that we're concerned with that if we're going to make them both swear, it looks like we're creating a situation that somebody's swearing falsely, because one of them is saying a lie. So in order to not abuse Besdin, that Besdin will say, this is what happens in Besdin, where we create a situation that somebody's certainly saying something not true. We try to do it in such a fashion. The Sefer Sich Sarfei Kodesh says that, why does the Gemara say What does the Mishnah say? Elu ve'elu boim de shvu shav. Both are saying something which is not true. That's not true. One of them is saying something which is not true. But the other one, we don't know which one, but either the workers did get paid and the chemveni is lying, or the workers did not get paid and either the workers got paid and they're lying, or they did not get paid and the chemveni is lying. But it's not that they're both saying something which is not true. Says the Sefer Sirach Sarfei Kodesh. What is the purpose of the Shvuah? The purpose of this Shvuah, of any Shvuah, is to get to the truth. We are not going to get to a situation of the truth by both of them saying a Shvuah. Because if they're both saying a Shvuah, so we're still where we are when we started. And therefore, the Shvuah is only allowed to be said in a circumstance which will help us get to the truth. In a situation where we're not going to get to the truth anyway, we're better off not making any shvuos under such circumstances. Omar, continues the Mishnah, Omar lechemveni, tenli b'den peris. If somebody comes to chemveni, a customer walks into the store, and he tells the chemveni, give me a dinner worth of fruit. V'nosanloi, and he gave him. And then Amaloi, tell me I said dinner. And now the storekeeper says, give me the dinner that you owe me for those fruit. Amaloi, and he tells him, Nesatilach, I paid you already. Nesatil Bampuli, and you put it into your cash register or you put it into your wallet. Yeshava Balabash, Nesatilach, I said dinner. All he needs to do is make a shvur to that effect, and that's why he'll be free. So Rashi explains that this is what we've been discussing many times already in our Masechta, a situation of a Shvuas Heses, where you claim I owe you, and I claim I don't owe you anything, which we've been learning that according to the Halacha Midaraisa, a Koifer Kol doesn't have to swear. And here, I will have to swear Shvuas Heses. The problem with this Pshat is that if we're going to learn Pshat in the Mishnah this way, it turns out that the halacha of a Shvuas Heses was already a place in the times of the Mishnah. And it doesn't, and it seems that the Shvuas Heses was only instituted in the time of Rav Nachman. So we must say that this is not the standard Shvuas Heses. This was a special Shvuas Heses, the Rishonim explained, that was instituted in the case that we're learning in our Mishnah, where there's a question, did I pay, didn't I pay? So the Chazal made a new rule that in those circumstances, you make a Shvuas Heses. But it's not to be understood, that under all circumstances, such a Shvuah has to be made in the part of the family of Shvuas Heses. Continues the Mishnah, Amaloi, what about vice versa? Where the customer tells the storekeeper, tell me as a Paris, give me the fruit that I bought. Amaloi, and the storekeeper says, Nesatim Malach, I already gave him to you. V'lachtim atach beisecha, and you already took him home. So then, in this case, Yeshava and Chemveni. And again, we're going to have to say the same pshat, that this is a special new shvua that Chazal instituted. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol she Paris abiyadai, whoever has the Paris, yodah hal yoinai, keeps it without needing to make a shvua. And the way to understand this is, because normally a chemveni will not give the payrus to the customer without getting paid. And the fact that we see the payrus in the hands of the customer, so according to Yehuda, that is clearly an indication that he already paid. But what the Mishnah doesn't seem to speak about is what about the other way around, where the storekeeper still has the payrus and the customer already has the payrus, but the chemveni says that he didn't get paid. According to Chamim, we've been learning there's a special takana shvuas. According to Yehuda, that isn't the case that we made a shvua because he wouldn't have the fruit if he wouldn't have paid. But what's going to be the halacha if it's the other way around? It's not clear what Rabbi Yehuda would say in that case. Amul Shulchani, what happens if the Balabais tells a money changer, Tell him b'din amos, please exchange this large coin for smaller coins. For nasaloi, and he did so. And now amaloi tell me it's a dinner. And now the shulchani tells the person who's standing in front of me, give me the large coin. Amaloi nasatavloch, I already gave it to you. Nasata bumpali, and you put it into your wallet. Is the aloch yishav balabais. Again, a special new shvua the Chazal instituted. What about the other way around? Nasaloi is a dinner. The balabais gives the dinner to the shulchani. Vamali tell me it's a, he says, give me the money. So the shulchani tells the balabais, you already put it into your wallet. You shove the shulchani now has to swear. And Yehuda again says, ain't derech shulchani liten iser. He won't give the small coins at a shiital dinner, and therefore no shvu is required. Continues the Mishnah. We've learned earlier, and in the Masechta based on a Gemara and Masechta Ksubis, to the Gemara that pays Zion of an Alva, the Gemara speaks about Habegemes. Subasa. A woman, husband divorced her, and she has a ksuba, and when a couple, Rachman Slan, gets divorced, she's entitled to the ksuba, and she claims that, but she says that she already got paid partial on the ksuba. The tefara, the loch is that she's not entitled to get the balance, el b'shua. Eid echem ida she perua. If there's an eid echod that says that she's partially paid up, again, the halacha is like tifer el b'shvua. If she's coming to collect her ksuba menichsas m'shubadim, the husband doesn't have any assets. He only has assets that he had sold. But all assets are mortgaged to her ksuba, and she wants to collect for one of those assets. Or menichsa yisoymim. Her husband died, so now all the assets are in the property of the yisoymim. The halacha is like tifer el b'shvua. Teaches us the same halacha of a Cain, if the woman's coming to collect the ksuba, not in the presence of her husband, is the halacha like tipar el b'shvua, she has to make a shvua. Hayusaimim, if Yusaimim are coming to collect money that they claim was owed to their father, layifar el b'shvua, they have to make a shvua. What's the shvua they have to make? Because what's bothering the Gemara is, what's bothering the Mishnah is how could they make a shvua? They can't be certain if the father got paid or not. They have to make a shvur shlebekadnu abba, that our father did not tell us that this debt was paid up. V'le'amalanu abba, that the father didn't give us any instructions about the shtar. V'shlemetzina ben shtaros v'shlaba, nor did we find any documentation amongst our father's documents that this debt is paid up, and then they'll be entitled to pay it. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan and Breikoima, Afilu Noilat HaBen, Achamisis Av, even if the son was born after the father passed away. So obviously there's no possible way that the father could have told him if he paid it up, they were never together. Harezinishba V'Noitel, he still has to make the Shvua. And the reason is, explaining the Rishonim, because even though he obviously could not have heard any direction from his father, but he could have seen amongst his father's documents what's going on, and that makes that he should have to make a shvua. If there are edim that could testify that at the time of death the father said that this document was never paid up, then the halach will be noital. Shloi b'shvua, the halacha is that you don't swear. Why will the Tanakhama says Tosfos, why would the Tanakhama suggest that under these circumstances the Yorish has to swear? Because it is possible that the shtar was paid up. And the reason the father said it wasn't was that the father wanted to make the sons feel good. Look, you're going to become wealthy men upon my death because I'm owed all this money. And therefore, even in this case, the shvua is required. There's certain cases where Chazal required a shvua, even if there's no dispute. Hashutfim, partners, farisin. If the shutfim are dissolving a partnership, they have to swear to each other. Harisin, we know that an oris is entitled to a certain percentage. That's the sharecropper relationship. If Apotropos is somebody who is administrating, manages somebody else's field for assets. The Rashi explains that we're not talking about, normally in Shas, where we speak about Apotropos, we speak about an Apotropos that is taking care of the assets of Yesoimim. Our Gemara says Rashi is not talking about that Apotropos. Our Mishnah is speaking about Apotropos that somebody just asked somebody to manage his asset. The Torah says that when he was appointed by, the Torah has an interesting approach. It says somebody who was appointed by Beis Din should swear. Somebody that was appointed by the father of Yesoimim doesn't have to swear. And our Mishnah is speaking about somebody who is just a money manager. If a woman, her husband appointed her to take care of the assets, and he passes away, or he's not here, or similarly, if one brother is taking care of all the assets of the estate, he has to make a shvur. Amalai, says the Mishnah, if one partner said to another partner, Mata Taneni, what are you asking from me? And he says, that are you thinking that I took money that isn't mine? Chayev, he has to swear. Choka Shutva Arisen, as we said, if a partner has dissolved the partnership, or the Arisen are dissolving this relationship, any Yochel Ashbiyai, if this comes up later, he can't make a claim. However, if Nizgalgaloi Shua Makam Acher, but if there's a situation that he has to make a Shua, then Magagal has a call. And the last thing of the Mishnah is a Shvi's Mishametas Shuas. Shvua. Just like we know that Shemitah has the ability and does have the ability to cancel all loans, so too does Shemitah have the ability to cancel all obligations of making a Shvua. But, explained the Rishonim, what type of a Shvua does Shemitah have the ability to cancel? The only type of Shvua that Shemitah can cancel is a Shvua that emanates from a loan. And the reason is quite simple. Because since Shemitah cancels the loan, so the Shvua, which is connected to the loan, since the Shvua that's connected to the loan, the halacha will be, is canceled. But when it's not that way, when it's not a loan that emanates, when it's not a Shvua that emanates from a loan, so that has nothing to do with Shemitah, and therefore, of course, Shemitah will not cancel that loan. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Kol Nishbon Shabbat Torah, when the Torah speaks about a Shvua, what the Torah means is Nishbon V'loy Mishalman, that the rule is that you make the Shvua and you don't have to pay. Says the Gemara, Menalon, where do we know this halacha from? Dama Kro, the Pasuk speaks about a Shai Masachu, we're going to learn the halachas at the end of the Masechta still, where Shai Masachu says that the object that he was watching, that he was getting paid to watch, something happened to it, an oinus. The pasuk says, "V'lokach balav v'lo yishalim." The shomer will swear, "Mish olav l'shalim." The person that would have to pay if it was not true, lo yishvur, he makes the shvur, and by him making the shvur, he's off the hook. But we learned in the Mishnah, "Veil nishbayim v'noitlim." Says the Mishnah sachir. So our Mishnah taught us a new din, that a sacher, a worker, if he says that he wasn't paid, swears and gets paid. So ask the Gemara, Mishnah sacher the tekin l'rabbanan the shtav v'shakel. Why is there a special halacha by a sacher that he just makes a shvua and he takes? And he'll be able to collect the salary? Says the Gemara, Amr Yehuda Amr Shmuel. The reason is, a very big halacha was learned here. There's a fundamental machlokes Rambam and Ravid regarding this halacha. The Rambam says that even if the employee is a katan, Chazal gave him the right to collect his wages if he swears that he wasn't paid. The Ravid disagrees and says that we never make a katan make a shvua. And therefore, says the Ravid, If the employee is a katan, that what we do is that we make the it's one of the cases that we've been discussing where we turn things around, and instead of the employee, the katan, making a shvuah, the employer makes the shvuah, and once he makes the shvuah, he won't have to pay. So how do we indeed understand the opinion of the Rambam? How do we understand what the Rambam says, that a katan will make a shvuah? So the Magen Mishnah says that the truth is an employee should always be believed. Why? Because as we're about to learn, there's a concept of balabais tarad b'poyalev. The employer is preoccupied and he forgets that he paid. The only reason, as we're going to learn, Chazal said that the employee should swear, is lahofes datus balabais, to make the employee feel good. If that's the employer feel good, if that's the entire reason for the shvuah, says the Mishnah Melchon explaining the Rambam, he says, what's the reason that the Torah says that a katan doesn't make a shvuah? Because katanim don't understand and don't appreciate the significance and severity of what it means to take a shvuah, what the Chil Hashem is, what kind of Chil Hashem is created when you make a false shvuah. And therefore here, however, says the Magid the Mishnah Melech, where the shvuah is really not necessary, because we just said the Torah really believes the worker. Just to make the employer feel good, we introduced the shvuah. For that type of shvuah, we could believe a katan. Says the Or Sameach, however, in explaining the opinion of the Rambam, says that the Rambam never meant that the katan should make a shvuah, because the Or Sameach, as derived, finds it difficult to accept that a katan should be able to make a shvuah. But rather, what he means to say is that we wait until this katan, the worker, the employee, the katan, becomes a gadol, and then he'll make the shvuah. Says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda Mishmuel used a very interesting statement. Halachas gadol shvuos kan. So the word halachas in Shas always means halacha l'mashem Sinai. So ask the Gemara, halacha, hani hilchas anenu, are these in the category of halacha l'mashem Sinai? Ela'im etakana gadol shanakan. We learned great takonas. So again, ask the Gemara, if you use that wording, it seems to indicate that when we speak about rules, the Chazal said, there is no such a thing, the big or small. Was meant to say was, takonis kavua shonakan. These are very important halachas. Because even though really the halacha should be, as we've been learning, that if there's a claim against the balabais, against the employer, he should swear, Chazal took it away, v'shadya asocher, and said it'll be satisfactory that the employee will swear. And the reason Chazal did it is because mishum kedei chayev. So what does the word kavus mean? It means that don't look at this halacha as some sort of a temporary fix. Kavua, it's something strong and to be accepted. Another pshat that the Ritva suggests is that we find the word yikva can be used to mean something that was stolen. And what's happening here, of course we have to be careful as we explain it this way, is that there's some sort of a geneva. We're taking the shvua and we're taking it away from the employer and placing it on the employee. And that's why it's called kavua. So ask the Gemara. We need to understand, if really the employer is the one that should make the shvuah, yes, we're concerned about the worker, but does that give us the right to say that the worker should swear? Says the Gemara, the employer is satisfied with this arrangement. Like this, people will want to work for him. Adrabba, says the Gemara, we can make a counter argument. Socher nichalei d'lashtaba balabais v'nifka. We can make an argument that the employee was happy to swear because keicha d'ligri balabais. If everybody sees that this employee is a troublemaker, nobody's going to want to hire him. Balabais, but the Baal Bayis is anyway going to hire workers, because he has a business. Says the Gemara, the worker also is in a difficult position. He needs money to live. El Baal Bayis says, so we're back to our question. Why did we switch and take it from the Baal Bayis to the worker? Says the Gemara, because we have a new concern. That is, Baal Bayis tarred b'pal alef. The employer is very busy, and that's why, since he's so busy, that's why he's likely to make a mistake. Says the Gemara, v'leisa le'b'lo shvua. And therefore, if that's the case, asks the Gemara, so why is a shvua necessary? Answers the Gemara, k'dei l'hofes tarta sh'baal bayis. We don't want that the employer should be upset. So like that, we tell the employee to swear. Ask the Gemara, but why, instead of creating this type of situation, why don't we just say, v'leisa le'b'edim? Why don't we just make a rule that an employer, whenever he plays his employer, has to make a shvua? Like the Rimagash explains, why is this a better advice? Because what we're doing in our Gemara, as we've been saying in our shir, is we're turning the tables from where the Torah says who should make the shvua and requiring another person to make a shvua, which is something that we don't really want to do. We don't want to go against what the Torah says. So why don't we just come up with this approach that they should always be paying in front of Edim, and therefore we'll be able to make sure that they were paid and not do something which is contrary to what the Torah wants. Answers the Gemara, that's really not a great piece of advice. Trechele milsa. It's very hard to always find Edim to pay your workers in front of them. Says the Gemara, so why don't we make another rule? Why don't we just say that the employer should pay in the morning? Because like that, if he gets paid in the morning, so first of all, the employer is not that busy yet. And the employee knows that he gets paid in the morning. And if he didn't get paid in the morning, he just won't start to work. Answers the Gemara, Shnayim writes to Mekofa. Nobody likes that approach. The worker doesn't want to get paid until the day is over. Because if he's going to have the money in his pocket all day, he's concerned that he's going to use it improperly. And then when he needs to go home at night to feed his family, he won't have it. The owner, the employer, just starting the business day and doesn't necessarily have money available to pay the workers. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, the Chazal said, because we're concerned because the employer is torud, he's so busy. We're going to learn there's a difference in the halacha, whether if there's a dispute, if he got paid or not, versus a situation where there's a dispute over how much getting paid. But if we now introduced a new consideration, that employers are very busy, so then, Alam Tanya, why does the Braisa say, Umen Oy Mishtayim, where the worker says, you promised me 2 sloim for the job. Shtayim Kutsatzli. Valoim, and the employer says, Loy Kutsatzli, Ela Achas, I only promised you 1. The Loch Zamaitz Mechaver of Araya. And if the employee cannot prove that that was what was committed to him, he's not entitled. But if we now ask the Gemara, introduced a new concern, a new point, of that the owner is always, that the employee is always busy, so then it shouldn't make a difference what they're arguing. Answers the Gemara, this is something that he knows. And that's not something we could say that he forgot. Why? So Ritfar explains. He says, a worker finishes his day of work, and it's very possible that as the day of work ends, the owner is so busy at the end of the day, he doesn't remember whom he paid, who he didn't pay. But when is the when is the salary negotiated? The salary is negotiated at the beginning of the day. And since it's negotiated at the beginning of the day, when he's not yet that busy, so therefore the halach is, he certainly knows what he promised, and therefore we can't just use the excuse of Torah. Yehachi, says the Gemara, if that's the reason that we just introduced a concept of Baal Bayis Torah, that the employer is so busy, a filuk of his manoi, even if the time of payment, where you have to pay somebody, everybody at the end of the day, Nami that halacha should be that he should, the employee should just be allowed to swear and get. Alam Tanya, but we learned in a brisa that of his money, if it's past the time of due that you have to pay, loy nosan loy, and you didn't pay him, I raise in Nishbel Noitel. Why? If we're concerned that he isn't able to remember properly if he paid or not, so what's the difference when it's taking place? Answers the Gemara, a new concern. The law is very strong that once you have to pay and you don't pay, there's a law in the Torah of Leisom Pulisoch Itchad Biker, and we know that people don't want to violate that law, and therefore we could assume that he paid. But ask the Gemara, how can we say that? We've been saying Balabai's type of payalafu that the employer is so preoccupied and he forgets. Answers the Gemara, when is that said? That's before the time of payment that the Torah mandates comes. But once the time of payment comes and a person doesn't want to be over, doesn't want to violate the serious Avera, Rami and Nafshi and Mitkar, he'll make sure to remember to pay in a timely fashion. So here we learned a very important concept, and that is the concept of Lo Solon. There's a very interesting discussion, and that is if somebody works by the week, Friday is when his work week is over, and that's when he's supposed to get paid. So now the question is, the Halacha Baal Tolan tells us that you have to, if somebody works for you, you have to pay him by night. By night, Friday night, you can't pay because it's Shabbos. So what do we say? How does the halacha look at this situation? Does the halacha say you have to pay by night? The Shabbos doesn't allow you to pay by night, and therefore there's no loisalin. Or do we say that here we don't say that the time of payment is on Friday night, and now we'll say since it's Friday night, you can't pay Friday night, so you're not over loisalin. But rather, somebody who's supposed to get paid on Friday, his time of payment is before Shabbos commences. And since his time of payment is before Shabbos commences, if you didn't pay on Friday, then the halacha is then you are over Baal Tolan. And that's what the Chafetz Chaim in the Sefer Avos Chesed says, that an employer has to pay his workers on Friday by afternoon. And I saw that the Arizal was makbid not to daven mincha on Friday until he knew that he had paid all workers that he was obligated to pay. There's an interesting question. Here we're learning how important it is to pay workers that you owe what you owe them. And the question is, what's the halacha, if somebody has a mitzvah, let's say it's Erev Pesach, and a person has limited funds, and now he has a problem. Should he pay his worker and not be over Baal Tolan, but then he won't have money to buy matzahs? Or should he buy matzahs, which is a once-a-year opportunity, once-a-year mitzvah? So one thing that the Paiskim are all in agreement, is that the halacha is that anything that's not absolutely required in the halacha, if somebody wants to buy extra food, l'kavod Shabbos, he has the right to buy extra food, l'kavod Shabbos, at the expense of his workers. But if it's something which is absolutely required, it's very unclear. But the Chashuki Chemet says that he asked this question to Rabbi Yoshev, and Rabbi Yoshev said that Baal Solon even comes before the mitzvah matzah, very b'chiddush. I saw that Rav Moshe Sternberg discusses that the halacha paying workers also applies to somebody who has a yeshiva, somebody has a kollel. So what's going to be the halacha if somebody has a kollel and he doesn't pay in a timely fashion? Is he over Baal Tolan? So Rav Moshe Sternberg, and I think Ramay should take a very similar approach, that isn't the situation about Tolan. It's not an employer-employee situation. Of course, they all say that it's critical and important that the people who are learning in the kollel get paid in a timely fashion, but there's no baal talin if they don't have the ability to pay. And therefore they say that, let's say the kollel, the yeshiva, have people who are learning there and they want to get paid in a timely fashion. And then there are suppliers that are demanding payment. On the suppliers, there's more of an obligation of baal talin than on the workers. And because there's more of an obligation on the suppliers, towards the suppliers, than to the kollel yungalite, the halacha will tell us, they suggest, that you should pay the suppliers first. Ask the Gemara. We're worried, we're saying that the employer, once now we're in a situation about talin, now we're sure that he paid. So ask the Gemara, what about the worker? The worker says he wasn't paid. Is there concern with chisachar ovim shabbat tigzel that the worker's going to lie? Says the Gemara, it's a fair question. But says the Gemara, gabe baal bayis ikatrei chazaki. The employer had two chazakas working in his favor. Chod adein baal bayis oibolay solon, as we just learned, that an employer doesn't do baal talon. Chod adein sachir masha scharei, that there's another chazaka. Employees don't let the salary be delayed. Therefore, we believe in this circumstance the employer more than the employee. Continues the Gemara. We've been learning that the halacha is socha nishva v'noytel. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Shmuel, el lo shanu el shesachar be'edim. This entire discussion is only in a situation where this worker was hired in front of Edim. However, socha shloim b'fnei Edim, if he was hired not in the presence of Edim, since in this case, this is a migui, where the employer could have said, who are you? I never hired you. He could then has a migui to say, I did hire you, and I paid you already your salary. So Reb Yitzchak said to Reb Nachman, yeah, sure, you said very well. And Reb Yochanan said the same. Ask the Gemara, does that mean Mechlal de Polig le Shlokish, or Shlokish disagrees? Says the Gemara, Ikadami, no. Ikadami, Mishta have a Shosle, Vishosle, Shlokish was drinking when Rabbi Yochanan said this thing, and therefore we don't know what he would have said because his mouth was full. Ikadami, Mishta have a Shosle, Vishosle, Shlokish was waiting until Rabbi Yochanan finished what he had to say, and Rabbi Yitzchak left before he could hear Shlokish's reaction. Itmanami, Amar Rav Nasha Bezvid, Amar Rav Loishan al Shishchar be'edim. Only where there were edim that these workers were hired to work. Avo Sakha Shalai be'edim, B'taych Shiach Alayim Alay. Since the employer has a migi saying, Loishchaticham Aylam, Yach Alayim Loishchaticham Nasati Lachas Shcharcham. Amar Ramin Bachama, Bachama Mali Hashmatza. This is a wonderful Dvar Torah that you just said. It says, Amar Lai Rav Amay Mal Yusuf. I don't understand why this is so great. In Cain, Shvuas Shomer in the Chayv Rechmona. We speak about a Shomer Socher who says that there was an oinus to what he was watching. That the Torah says he has to swear, Heichem Mishkach Slo, how does that ever happen? Why can't he say, why doesn't he have the smigui? B'tach Shiyach Alayim Alay, since he could always say to the person who says, you were watching my item, Yach Alayim Alay, he could always have the option, the migui of saying, I didn't have it altogether. We should believe him when he says, Yachalim Lay Nansu. Says Rami Bachama, that the Torah is speaking about a case, Dafkale Be'edim, where he can't say, I never had it, because there were Edim that he was watching it. Ask the Gemara, just like he could have said, he has the other migui. He could have said, that I returned it to you. So he should be believed. Kach yochalim lo nansu, says the Gemara. Dafklei b'shtara. Not only was he, when he was given this item to watch, it was given to him with a shtar, and the shtar is still sitting in the hands of the owner of the item. Mechlal. So says the Gemara, based on what we're learning here, the tavayis relay mafkad etz chaveru be'edim, that if you give somebody to watch something with edim, ain't tzarach lo be'edim b'shtar. Tzara lachs le be'edim. You have to have edim. Says the Gemara. Kar Rav Bachama leid Rav Sheshes. So Rav Bachama said that regarding Rav Sheshes, that even in a case of a migui, that we have a case that he has to swear. Says the Gemara, "Karim Makam al Rav Sheshes v'yasa David as dvar meila belibay," that we find that David, when the brother of Goliath wanted to attack him, so David HaMelech pretended as if he was deranged. So too, Rav Sheshes wanted to understand the brises according to what Rav and Shmuel said, and he said that he paid attention that just the opposite. And says the Gemara, what does that mean? Ashkach Rav Sheshes Rabbi Shmuel, Amalei, Tani Mar Midi B'Sachar, have you taught us anything regarding a employee swearing in order to get a salary? Amalei, in Tanina, I did learn. He said, Socher Bezmanoi, if he's claiming his salary when he's due, Nishma V'Noitel, Ketzat, Bezman Sh'amaloi, when the employee says to the employer, Sechar Tani, V'lo Nesat L'Skar, you hired me and you didn't pay me. V'lo Ayim Sechaticha, I did hire you, Nesat L'Skarcha, that's when you have to swear. Aval, if they dispute, as we said before, their dispute is over how much was the salary. Amle Shtayim, the worker says, you promised me two slime, Kutsatzli. V'loi Amalei Kutsatzli ala achas, Dalach Zmaitzev Echavera ala Varaya. When Rav Sheshes heard this price up, he said that this price seems not to be consistent with Rav Shmuel. Hodme the Sefer Varaya Hava, that since the Sefer is speaking, unless he could bring a raya that he was paid, that he was promised that much. Reisha, that when the employer says that I paid you, he has that the worker swears even below raya. All he needs to do is swear, and that is enough. So that's like Rav and Shmuel, because Rav and Shmuel just said that the only time we'll believe the worker is if he has Adam that he was hired. Because otherwise, we learned, the employer always has a migui and say, I never hired you in the first place. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, it's not true. Reisha v'seifa b'raya. Both the Reisha and the Seifa and the Raya. The difference is that Raya de l'shalim, in a case where the employer will have to pay k'tani, that's the den of the Seifa, that the worker has to bring a proof, edim, or proof how much he was hired. Raya the shvua, but in a case where the raya, the edim, create a shvua, that wasn't focused on in the Mishnah, but that in the Brais, like Tani. But that doesn't mean that the worker doesn't have to bring a raya that he was hired. Yes, the worker must bring a raya that he was hired, because if he cannot prove that he was hired, then the employer could always say, I paid you, and I have a migui to believe me, because I could have said I never hired you in the first place.